Praise the Lord and praise the Lord and praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We honor the presence of God tonight, and we welcome you to our weekly pastoral Bible study and prayer. This is Bishop Horace Michael, and it is our great pleasure to share with you tonight the Word of God in our continuing studies based upon the focus for this year, It Shall Be Done in 21. We're going to go right into our prayer and Bible study tonight in the name of the Lord. Let's look to the Lord for a moment. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we love you and we thank you for being such an awesome God, lifting our heads and sustaining us throughout every situation. We cannot thank you enough. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, who is our comforter, who is our guide, everything we need for everything we face, we bless your name this night. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the keeping power of your Holy Spirit. Not only are you able to redeem us, but you're able to sanctify us. And Father, we bless your name tonight for the sanctifying power of your word. Lord God, we are clean through your word. Hey, glory. And we ask, Lord God, that tonight you would move on this line as only you can. Let your Shekinah glory rest upon us as we consider what thus saith the Lord. Somebody needs to hear your voice, Lord. Someone needs to know that yet in all of what they're going through and all of what they're facing, that you are still God on the throne. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. And we thank you right now that we are in your presence to receive from your hand. Speak, Lord, and your servants will obey. We commit all things into your hands. Use us as an oracle of God, as a voice, a mouthpiece, and a voice unto your people. We bless you and we thank you. Hide us behind the cross. Let no flesh glory in your presence. It, all the glory and all the honor belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you on this evening. We are grateful to the Lord for this opportunity to come together to share God's word. I'm excited about it tonight. And so without any further ado, we're going to go into part two. When I shared with you on last week, and I'm sharing the screen right now, I wanted you to understand how very important it is that while we're talking about accomplishing goals, setting goals and accomplishing them, and feeling the joy and satisfaction of that experience, when you accomplish something on your own accord, you don't have to worry about anybody celebrating you. You can celebrate yourself. Glory to God. And I feel the Holy Ghost here because God wants you to celebrate. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I declare that if there's anybody on the planet that ought to be happy, it ought to be the child of God who knows that God is working through them both to do and to will of his own good pleasure, of the good pleasure of God. And so while we are elated behind the idea of establishing goals and accomplishing things for God, one of the things that the Lord put in my spirit that must not be overlooked in this time of great vicissitude and compromise, people are going forth with all kind of error, that it is important for you to understand the foundational truths that will sustain you no matter how far you go in God, no matter how much you grow in God. You need a foundation that's stable and that will sustain you throughout your journey. God knows this, And the word of the Lord speaks to us and says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is built upon Christ. Oh, bless the name of God. And everything that he is to us, we are blessed through it. We are his body. And because we are his body, we need to understand the position that we have, the blessings that belong to us. And I dare even say the power. But one thing to be clear about is that knowledge is power. And if you don't know what the word says to you to do, you will be wishy-washy. You will be inconsistent. Your change will be obvious, and it will be disturbing, because God is constant. And when he comes into our lives, he gives us the ability to be steadfast, to be constant, to be sure grounded, rooted and grounded. The psalmist says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel or the teachings of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way or the philosophy of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat or sit in the position in the attitude of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's happiness in God's law. There's happiness in God's word. There's soundness and safety. The Bible says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. No matter what winds blow, when you are planted like a tree by the rivers of water, kataya, can't nothing shake you. This is why it's important to have a foundation in the word. People that are so easily shaken, they have either got no foundation or they've left the foundation, because the foundation makes you steady. Hallelujah. God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. The foundation makes you steady so that your leaf won't wither, and whatever you do to the glory of God shall prosper. Let's get into this. This is part two tonight. Last week, we dealt with part one that dealt with the doctrines of Christ from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. We extensively went through each one of those elements. Praise the name of God, those seven doctrines of Christ. Tonight, we are going into part two. This is a continuation of building that doctrinal foundation, that sure foundation that John speaks to us out of 2 John chapter. Well, there's only one chapter there, but verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You can't separate God and Christ and say you're following the doctrines of the word, because the doctrine of Christ embraces all of what God wants for us to have. Jesus being the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. There is no way to be complete without doctrine. And don't you let nobody try to fool you today and minimize doctrine and say doctrine is a bunch of tradition and doctrine is for it's old school. It's not relevant. It's not applicable. The devil is a liar, because this is a foundation. There's no other foundation that can be laid than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Let's go into this. Praise the name of God. Now, I'm going to read off these doctrines to you. Praise the name of God. And then I'm going to go through the scriptures. I know it may be a bit of a challenge as it relates to the verses, but I'm going to try to do this real easy. I'm going to try to set it up so that the chat line is open for everyone publicly. Brother Paul, I'm going to ask you to keep an eye on that, and everybody should be able to communicate what verse of scripture they want to be able to read. And if you do it, it's not on the screen. Am I not sharing my screen? I thought I was sharing my screen. Pardon me. Thank you so much. This is why it's so good to have people working with you. Praise the name of God. Can you all see the screen now? Okay. Very good. So let me come out of this magnify mode. All right. So now here we go. Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate that. So tonight, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and verse 45 through 47 serves as the foundation for the seven essentials of holy living. The seven essentials of holy living. Last week's lesson, and that was recorded, excuse me, let me just take a swallow of water. Last week's lesson was dealing with the seven doctrines of Christ. And that has to do with what we must believe. We must believe and follow these seven doctrines of Christ. Otherwise, you'll go off into error and the devil will keep you in error. And error is designed to bring you to lies and to deceptions and to ultimately death. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. And so it's important that you understand the necessity of what you must believe. And so the seven doctrines of Christ, what we shared last week, deal with what we must believe in order to have a vibrant life in the Holy Spirit. Today's focus deals with what we must do. These are the seven essentials of holy living. What we must do in following having life in the Holy Spirit, this vibrant life, this life of growth and development. And so it's important that you understand what we must believe and then what we must do and have a biblical foundation for that. I thank you. I see people putting in the chat right now, and don't use the direct message. Use it for everyone. This way, everybody can see who has taken a verse, and they'll see that there's other verses that are yet available, and we won't have duplication of efforts. Thank you so much. You all are working so wonderfully together. God bless you. God bless you. Tonight, we're going to go right in. Acts chapter 2. I'll read that. Bless the name of God. And then that list on the right-hand side is what I'm going to need volunteers for, items 1 through 7. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and verse 45 through 47. I'm going to read that because this is the foundation for tonight's lesson. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And verse 47, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The word of the Lord is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to understand that this was the context in which signs and wonders were done. Glory to God. They had all things. They were all believed and together, and they were unified, and they had things in common. And so let's go through these bullet points. This is the foundation. So the first bullet point on the list is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And the first bullet point under the seven essentials of holy living is the doctrines of Christ, which is the apostles' doctrine. It's very important that you don't mix these two up. These are not two separate teachings. These are unified teachings. Praise the name of God. You need to put that in your notes. When we talk about the idea of the doctrines of Christ And the doctrines of the apostles, we're not talking about contradictory doctrines. We're talking about unified teachings, unified doctrines. And doctrine is the word doctrine, it just means teaching. So everybody is indoctrinated. When you go to school, you get indoctrinated. When you go to any kind of organization that has learning, there's an indoctrination that takes place. And that just means that you embrace the teachings of that organization. When you become indoctrinated, praise the name of God. So doctrine is not the problem. The problem is error. Error is the problem. The spirit of error is the problem. And Jesus doesn't walk in error. Jesus is the personification of truth. And what he shared with his apostles, the apostles shared with the church. And it was good for them then. And because the word of God doesn't change, it don't change for nobody. You don't see God changing his standards for people. People have to come up to the standard. And so while we are not insensitive to people needing to know the truth and learn the truth and being taught how to apply truth, because you just can't throw a Bible at somebody and say, here, go become all that God wants you to be. Hey, glory, become all God wants you to be. Read this and be what that says. You got to help people to teach. You got to teach them and train them. That's what this ministry is all about, teaching the believer. That's why teachers are crucial in the body of Christ. And so don't get it twisted. The doctrines of the apostles are the same as the doctrines of Jesus. And I think that we've got somebody, I've already read it, so we don't really need to reread it again, but I'm going to read it just for emphasis. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't turn from the left. They didn't turn to the right. They were steadfast. And you, my friend, you must be steadfast. You don't need to be wishy-washy, double-minded, sometimes up and sometimes down, sometimes in and sometimes out. That kind of character is easily seen because there's inconsistencies in it, and you need to be steadfast. That's point number one. The doctrines of Christ is the doctrines of the apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is the companion verse. Let's go on to item number two. Item number two is fellowship. Excuse me. Item number two in the list is fellowship. And the companion verses for that is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. I see J.D. Austin has 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. And in the interest of time, we're going to move right into Hebrews chapter 10, because I'm going to move quick tonight. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. My God, today is the last day of the month of March. Tuesday, March 30th in the year 2021. And don't you know we see people that are departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits? They're not assembling for the purposes of Christ. They are departing from that. They have fallen into the ease of this COVID-19 experience where so many of us have been using virtual church in the interim because of the COVID-19 assembly restrictions, not being able to come together in public assembly had value, and it still does have value because this COVID-19 pandemic is not done yet. The Lord has not brought it to an end, and the only person that's going to be able to really bring this to an end is God Almighty himself. Thank God for those brilliant minds that have put together the vaccine, but the death toll is increasing. And even though they have put forth this great effort and people are getting vaccinated by the millions, that's wonderful. But I got news for you. This virus has mutated into different forms, and it's not going to be just that easy to take these vaccines and then this thing goes away. The Lord will move it Hey, glory. He's going to move it out of the midst of us. Hallelujah. He's going to take this pestilence and move it out of our, he's going to move it out. The Holy Spirit, God in the earth, God in the earth has to deal with this pestilence. It has come across the world to devour, and the devil is a liar. We've got people that we know and love that have passed away to due to this thing. And we're certainly praying and maintaining our practice of social distancing. But I want you to understand that no matter what we do, we still got to get together. And the virtual experience for some is the only experience they have. And you have to be faithful to it and not take the time of worship as a time where you go and do other activities and what have you. Be careful how you treat the Sunday morning worship time. Be careful how you treat your Sunday worship time. You got to treat it with reverence. Don't you dare start doing stuff that you didn't do when we were in the building. That's error. And you got to watch that spirit. There's no, you don't have concessions for Sunday worship. Sunday is our day of worship. And we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Paul said some people are going to do it. And watch them, because they're going into error. We are to exhort one another, encourage one another, and do it more and more as we see the rapture coming. The rapture is close. And you don't have time to play church. You got to be the church. And one of the aspects even of us having our cameras on is to exhort one another, to encourage each other, to get out of that still picture that often sometimes, or that sometimes can be used to just hide behind. That's not how we worship. When we come to worship, we're not hiding. And so the Lord has dealt with me, and you all know, on several occasions from several weeks ago, to be camera ready. Get yourself together for worship. You're going to have to do it when the doors of the church open. And so you better start getting ready now. It's going to take a whole lot more effort to get ready to go out of your house, to come to the house of worship when this thing is all passed to a point where we can come together for worship. Some churches are already open and they have to get up and do what they got to do to get there. We have it easy right now in virtual church, but some people are falling away. It's not good. It's a bad sign. Error. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, and 21.
If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Fellowship is manifested and demonstrated based upon love. Love is the catalyst for fellowship. And so the scriptures make it clear. You can't talk about loving God and hating your brother. That's a lie. If you love God and hate your brother, that's a lie. And sometimes people don't use the word hate out of their mouths, but their actions indicate that they have an untoward feeling toward a brother or an untoward feeling toward a sister. They've got some angst against one another, or they've got an ought against somebody. And it shows. It shows in your body language. It shows in your tonation. It's interesting how our body is so holistic that if we're feeling something in our heart, it has a way of expressing itself. It has a way of showing itself. As a man thinketh in the heart, so is he. So is his action. So is his words. So is his deportment. And so love is shown in fellowship. And we cannot say we love God who we have not seen, and then we don't love our brothers who we see all the time. And again, I like to emphasize the interesting paradigm that the scriptures talk about in this text, that we see one another. Glory to God. We can't see God because God is a spirit. But when we come together, we can see God through how we act with each other. And again, that's the thing that you got to see. Glory to God. And this is a commandment. This is a commandment. Don't this is not an option. Verse 21 says, and this commandment have we from him, he who loveth God love his brother also. So whatever you got to do to get yourself right, because God will hold you accountable for love. He will hold you accountable for fellowship. He does not dwell in isolation in us. We are his body. The church makes up the body of Christ. And the body being fitly framed together, we encourage one another. We bring supply to one another. Every joint has a contributing part. Every joint has a supplemental contribution. And when we are come together, this is why the devil is afraid of our unity. Because when we come together, the devil can't stop the people of God. He can't stop a house when the house is not divided. He cannot stop a family when the family is not divided. He can't stop a husband and wife when they're united and not divided. He can't stop a congregation. Glory to God, when a congregation is united, and anything that interferes with that fellowship and that unity is out of order. It's out of line. And this is why this doctrine is so crucial. Let's go on to number three. Number three is the breaking of bread or Holy Communion. Number three is the breaking of bread or Holy Communion. The companion verse for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 through 32. Dr. Marbury, I believe, has that. Please begin reading.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastised of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
It's extremely important that you understand the basis for this. Let's look at this text very carefully. I hope y'all have your Bibles open. This is a Bible study, and it's not going to help you much if you don't have your Bible open to follow along, not just in terms of reading. And so I'm putting you on your honor that you've got your Bible open in front of you and that you're taking notes. That scripture says, Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you. Again, this is not personal opinion. This is doctrinal teaching. Jesus gave it to the apostle, and the apostle is giving it to the church, giving it to us. The epistles are letters written to the church for the conduct and the correction of the believer. And the gospels make up the biographical picture of Jesus. That's the presentation of Jesus, his ministry, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. The book of Acts gives us the historical perspective of the divine application of the power of the resurrected Jesus poured out upon the life of his followers, doing things that they couldn't do before the Holy Ghost came. After that, the Holy Ghost came upon them. They have power. And then after that, you see the spread of the church, the growth, the spread, and the scope of the church, the establishment of the apostles and the deacons ministering and serving the people, serving the tables and serving the saints. You see how all that comes together, and how that for the defense of the gospel, the Apostle Paul gave up his life. Brother Peter was crucified upside down. Deacon Stephen was the first Christian martyr, gave up his life because of Jesus. He was stoned to death. And while they were stoning him, he had a revelation of Jesus. Glory to God. They couldn't stop the man from his commitment to the Lord. Even though he was being stoned, he remained faithful and steadfast. And it was that example that left an indelible mark upon the young Saul of Tarsus. Glory to God. He couldn't get that out of his head, couldn't get it out of his spirit. And then on the road to Damascus is where the Lord met him, met Saul himself. The Lord revealed himself, knocking Saul of Tarsus off his animal. Those that were with him saw a blinding light, but they didn't hear a voice. But Saul heard the voice, and he was converted on that road. And ever since then, his life was changed. And so Acts represents that full embodiment, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and prophetic fulfillment. The birth, the growth, the development, the spread of the church, the apostles making their move, and the body of Christ growing in leaps and bounds, turning the world upside down. Then you come to Romans, which introduced the epistles, which were written to give correction and to give guidance to the church. And one of the corrective things, or one of the doctrinal elements that we have in this text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is saying what he received from the Lord. And let's understand this. Paul said, this is to be done in remembrance of Jesus. This doctrinal teaching points us to Christ. It doesn't point us to flesh and blood. Anything that points you to another is not gospel. Anything that points you to another is false doctrine. It's not sound. Sound doctrine always keeps you close to God. Always points you to Jesus. And even in the doctrine of Holy Communion, it is explicitly stated that we do this in remembrance of him. But we must do this according to the standard that God established. The Corinthians were taking this lightly, and they turned it into a love feast. And because of it, that brought judgment on the people of God. Paul said that when you take this communion, when you partake of the body of Christ and the blood of the Lord, that you got to examine yourself. When you deal with holy things, you can't come in your own way. You can't come in your own fashion. You got to get yourself together before you come into the presence of God. That's why we even have a period of time of prayerful introspection, where you as a person can take time to get your soul right with God. The Bible says that if a person eateth and drinketh unworthily, and that means not discerning the body and the blood of the Lord, not taking into account that this is not a time of fellowship, this is a time of discernment. I got to focus on this thing here. I didn't come to shake hands and give out hugs and kisses. When it comes down to Holy Communion, I'm going for me. I'm not here to greet and meet. I'm not here to mingle. I'm here to get in the presence of God and let him know I love him, to renew my commitment, my covenant. This communion speaks of the union between Christ and the church. And when I come to Holy Communion, I have to talk to you later. Now it's me and Jesus. I got to discern what he's done. I got to take into account what his sacrifice means to me. And I don't have time to joke and play with you. I got to discern the body. And if I don't do this, then I walk in sin. I walk in error, trifling with the body and blood of Jesus, that which God has used as a perfect offering and a sacrifice for my sins. I'm going to joke and laugh and kid with you. You may be my friend. You might be my brother. You might even be my spouse, but you're not that important that I'm going to let you distract me from focusing on what Christ has done for me. Christ did it all. Glory to God. He did it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he's washed me. And so I got to get my head straight. I got to examine myself. I got to consider my behavior. I got to consider my actions. I've got to consider the words that have come out of my mouth. If is the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart acceptable? Don't you lie to yourself. Just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean that you might that you haven't made a mistake or that you haven't gone off in deliberate error, because you know that there's two kinds of sins. There's sins of commission, sins of things that you do that you ain't got business doing as a child of God. Some people in the world, they do as much as they feel they're big enough to do. And that's their business. They do what they want to do. But I'm a child of God. My body has been bought. My whole life has been purchased. And I can't do with myself what I want to do. I've been bought. I belong to God. And so I've got to bring my actions under divine scrutiny, because this is not, I'm not of myself. I belong to him. And if I don't judge myself, the Lord is going to, one of two things is going to happen. I can get to a place where the Holy Ghost will judge me, which is called the judgment of sin in the believer, where the Lord will chasten me to get right. And sometimes that chastisement will come through the preached word. It might come through instruction given by the shepherd. And if you don't follow that instruction, God will chasten you. He'll deal with you. I'm not going to lose sleep over folks that want to be rebellious in their spirit. I've got a long life to live as long as the Lord wants me to be here. And I'm not going to let my life be cut short because of some folks that want to be rebellious. That's going to be on you. This is why I've got to give you doctrine. I've got to give you the word so that you are building yourself on a sure foundation. I said, if you don't let the Lord judge you through chastisement, through the tools that he will use, then you'll be condemned with the world. And so you can either get right or get left. Praise the name of God. Let's go on. That was Holy Communion. That was item number 3 out of 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. Praise the Lord. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. We're going on to number 4. Praise the Lord. Number 4 is prayers. Praise the Lord. And in our notes here, I'm going to zoom in just a little bit on the prayers because I want you all to see it. It's coming out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. I'm not sure who's got that. Somebody's got it. I think Sister Hobby. Amen. Sister Hobby's got it. So position yourself there. Let's go into that right now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 19. This is the doctrine of prayers. The doctrine of prayers. All right, Sister Hobby, please go ahead.
Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication all saints. And for him, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth only to make known the mystery of the gospel.
It's so important. And I wanted to read this whole context to put the verse 18 and 19 in perspective for you. It's no mistake that the doctrine of prayer is found crouched within the context of battle armor, the armor of God, battle wear. Prayer is in prayer is talked of powerfully in the text of scripture that speaks about the armor of God, the believer's battle wear. This is what you put on to fight. Make no mistake about it. Your clothes talk about you, what you're doing. What you wear reflects what you're doing. A baker is easily seen by the clothes that they wear when they're doing their thing. Brother Paul J.D. Austin is a master chef. And when he's in his element, he's not wearing a football uniform. He's wearing his chef outfit. Glory to God. He don't even need to have a hat. When everything else makes it clear to you who he is. When you see a police officer on the beat, and I know that they've got undercover cops, but when you see a police officer on the beat, you don't have any question about who he is when he's in his uniform, because he's got the hat, he's got the badge, he's got the right color, he's got other appointments that help you to know that he represents the law. When a judge comes in a courtroom, you don't have no question about who the judge is, because the judge is the person in a robe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you are a child of God, the devil ought not to make no mistake about who you are. Some people are dressed in a clown costume. Help me, Holy Ghost. Some people are dressed, and clowns, you can tell a clown by the costume. Some people are trick-or-treating, and they got all kind of stuff on. You don't know what they are from one day to the next. They got something, one thing on one day. They look like something else the next day. They look like a hot mess on the third day. And by the time they get to the sixth day, you don't know whether they're saint or sinner. And then on the Sunday, they try to get it all together and look like it's been holy, holy all week. The devil is a liar, because the devil knows your costume. People behind masks today, everybody walking around with masks on as a part of the process of being able to be preserved and try to be as preserved as possible and protected with regard to this COVID-19 situation. Yeah, I mean, it's people, you know, you got to be careful how you dress. Sometimes people dress and their clothes are too tight or too loose. The collars are too wide open, showing too much of their body. And your body is not to be on display unless you're selling something. That's not how a child of God is supposed to dress. If you have if you've got the Holy Ghost, you want to look holy. Whether you're on a if you're on a basketball court, you wear your basketball uniform. But if you're sitting in the bleachers, if you're going to the sporting event, if you're walking around at the mall, if you're going to the grocery store to shop, or even if you're just going outside your house to walk around and get some fresh air, you ought not to look like a whore or a harlot or a slut or some streetwalker. Your look, your holiness ought to have some sign on the outside. People ought to see that you are a well-kept person. It does no harm in looking good, but you need to look good and look God. Don't get it twisted. You can look good and still look God. Praise the name of God. Some of the most beautifully dressed women have been the saints that I've seen at our coming together and our convocations and whatnot. And you ought to look good. You ought to get your hair fixed. You ought to make sure that your nails are manicured. There ain't nothing wrong with having a nice outfit on. A brother in a nice crisp suit with a sharp shirt and tie. Shoes are shine. Praise the name of God. Ain't nothing better to see than a well-dressed saint. Praise the name of God. And you don't have to be showy. You don't have to be gaudy. You don't have to be trying to be like a magazine model. You need to model Jesus. Forget about whether you can fit on the GQ magazine or the cover of Essence or any one of those other fashion magazines. The fashion that you represent, you're fashioned after Jesus. And if your fashion isn't after Jesus, then your fashion is not of God. Lord, have mercy. Y'all are messing with me tonight. Praise the name of God. And so in the context of battle wear, the Apostle Paul talks about prayer, and he talks about praying all prayer and supplication in the spirit and praying with a watchful eye. When you pray, you got to watch with perseverance. In other words, consistency and compassion. Praying people are compassionate. They're not hard folks. People that are hard and rebellious and resistant, they not praying. Because if you're praying, you cannot be that way. If you're spending time in the presence of God, you can't be stiff-necked and stubborn. Something's got to give, and it's sure not going to be God. And so it's got to be us. We've got to persevere. That's the press. We got to keep the press, and we got to understand supplication. When you come as a supplicant, you're coming with humility. You're coming not thinking more of yourself than you ought to. So it's an attitude. It's a humble spirit, and it's a sensitive, compassionate spirit. And this is how we ought to pray. And Paul says, don't forget about me. He said, don't forget about me. He said, pray for me too, because I've got to speak the mystery of the gospel. I've got to tell this thing whether people want to hear it or not. I've got to tell this thing whether people like it or not. I've got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel speaks to us of this foundation. Praise the name of God. What kind of prayers do we pray? We pray the prayer of petition. Praise the name of God. And in the prayer of petition, that's when we make our request known unto God. We pray the prayer of intercession, where we're praying one for another that we might be healed. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. We pray the prayer of praise. That was what Jehoshaphat and them did when the enemies came up upon them to try to overwhelm them. They had overwhelming odds against them. But when they put the prayers, the singers out in front, and they began to praise God because of the beauty of his holiness. Don't you tell me that holiness is not powerful. That was the focus of their praise. They weren't praising God because they got a new car. They weren't praising God because they got a promotion on the job, because anybody could get that. Anybody can see that. People have been getting that before, after, and even while the Holy Ghost is here, getting promotions and getting material things. But when they began to praise God for something that no money could buy, they praised God for something that no tenure could accomplish. You can't serve God long enough to get his holiness. You've got to let the holiness of God be bestowed upon you. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus. It came upon us. We couldn't earn it. Ah, God, we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. And this is why I got to praise him no matter what I'm going through. I got to praise him when things are going well. I've got to praise him when things are not going well. I got to praise him when my body is strong and healed. And I've got to praise him when my body is weak and sickly. And everything, the Bible says, give thanks. Ah, God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. The Bible tells us that whatsoever things we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I believe that's in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, around verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. And you've got to understand the devil is afraid of the child of God that prays. If you're not praying, you're not a threat to the devil. All you are is an undercover agent for him. Your prayers is what distinguishes you from the world. It's not your clothes. It's not what you say out of your mouth. It's what you do with your life. And this is why these essentials of holy living is important. Praise the Lord. So many people get caught up in what they see people do, how they talk and how they do this, that, and the other, get all excited because of a charismatic figure. Don't you let that stuff sway you, because the devil is charismatic too. Lord have mercy. I said the devil is charismatic too. How do you think that the devil was able to get a nation of people to focus on genocide of the Jews during the time of the people of the Hebrews, the Israelites, are when they were in Shushan? Praise the name of God. When Esther was made the queen and she had to kind of go undercover because her uncle Mordecai didn't want her to be singled out. And God had a plan for her. Her identity was going to be revealed in due time. And y'all know the story, how Haman wanted to kill off the Jews, and he set up a gallows that he was going to hang Mordecai on. He got hung on that gallows and got killed, and the Jews were spared and saved because of the boldness of Esther. You remember how God even brought Israel, the Hebrews, out of Egypt. Praise the name of God. There's been the demon, the destructive demon has been trying to kill the people of God for as long as they've been people of God. But there's no weapon formed against us that can prosper, because we can bind and we can loose. We can loose the blessings of God. We can loose the power of God through our prayer. We can loose the anointing of God through our submission. It's what we do that God honors. It's not what we say. It's what we do. Well done. The scripture says, thou good and faithful servant. And so we also can come into agreement. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? And unless you are walking in agreement, you're not walking with God. The only way to walk in agreement with God is to walk in agreement with his word. His word is his teachings. His teachings are his doctrines. And these doctrines are the foundation for your growth and for your life in the Holy Spirit. You cannot grow properly unless you have a proper diet of this word, as well as the application. It's not just what you read, it's what you do, how you yield yourself to the word of God and allow yourself to be conformed and transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. When you apply the word, your life gives demonstration to the word of God. You are the living epistle that people will see. And if you're not showing God right, then you're showing God wrong. There's no middle ground. And so I'm going to have to end here. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. We're going to have to come back to the other parts later on. Praise the Lord. I want to try to keep this to a tight time frame. We'll pick it up with item number 5 on the list of the 7 essentials of holy living. Item number 5 has to do with them parting their possessions and giving. So we're going to begin with number 5 when we come back again next time, but I think that you have got enough, and with that you can begin to do something in terms of your own personal growth. And unless you apply this, you're only kidding yourself. It's great that you're here, and I thank God for you being a part of this teaching ministry and listening to what God is sharing with us. But this is the next phase for you. You got to have application for personal enrichment and empowerment. I'm sharing a slide, final slide to share. You can take a picture of it. We'll bring it back up again next week. But I want you to see, you've got a little homework to do. And the homework is this. I want you to write out, how can I put into practice the 7 doctrines of Christ? And I've given you a starter sentence. Because of the doctrine of blank, I will, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So whatever the doctrine is, if it's the doctrine of baptism, maybe there's somebody on the line that hasn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. Maybe you haven't been baptized in the water in Jesus' name. Well, the teaching of the word of God has gone forth that you need to do that. And so maybe one of the things that you would do is, I will commit myself to the word, and I'm going to be obedient to the call to be baptized. Praise the name of God. Repentance from dead works. We talked about that. We talked about the doctrine of laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and the doctrine of judgment. And maybe one, because of the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead, I'm going to live my life rapture ready, because I know that there's going to be a resurrection of life and a resurrection of damnation. And I don't want to be in the second resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection of life. The second point is, how can I put into practice the 7 essentials of holy living? And so we talked about those 7 essentials tonight. So I can practice fellowship by et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe you would say, I'm going to practice fellowship by making sure I'm camera ready on a Sunday morning and have my camera turned on to follow the instruction and leadership of our pastor, who's told us for weeks to be camera ready for our Sunday worship. That's an example. And it's a good one, because you need to do that. That's the name of God. But I'm going to stop sharing at this time, because I want us to go into prayer. I'm going to ask the prayer leaders to take a few minutes and take us into the presence of God. I know that there's so much in your spirit. There's so much on your heart. And tonight's teaching was very rich. There was a lot in it. And I want you to meditate on these things. For therein will you make your way prosperous, and therein will you have good success. Our brotherhood representative, our sisterhood representative, and our youth representative will come at this time in that order in the name of the Lord.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. We glorify you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your name, your holy name, your righteous name is worthy to be praised, Lord God. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord God, for this teaching tonight, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for being so good in our lives. We thank you tonight, Lord God. We ask you to forgive us, Lord God, if you said anything, Lord God, that wasn't pleasing to your ears, Lord God. If you thought anything and entertained any thought, Lord God, that didn't glorify you, Lord God. If you've done anything with our bodies, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we know was wrong, Lord God, we ask you to forgive us right now, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, purge us with hyssop if you must, Lord God. That even though our sins may be a scarlet, Lord God, hallelujah, because of your precious blood that you shed upon Calvary, Lord God, you'll make them as white as snow, Lord. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, because we can boldly come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy, Lord God. We can boldly come to you, Lord God, and ask for forgiveness, Lord. And we say thank you tonight, Lord God. Lord, we desire, Lord God, to be ready, Lord God, because you are coming back, Lord God. Hallelujah. For a church without spot or wrinkle, you are coming back for your people, Lord God. You're coming back, Lord God, where the dead in Christ, hallelujah, will rise first, and then those that are alive and remain will be caught up to be with you in the air, which is the rapture, Lord God. Lord, help us to be ready, Lord God. Whatever is wrong, whatever we're not doing right, show us, Lord God. If we're not paying attention, Lord God, reveal it to us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, because we need to be ready, Lord God. Because if you think it's hell on earth now, wait till when that tribulation period comes, it's going to be far worse, Lord God. And it's not your desire that any of us should perish but come to repentance, Lord God. So whatever we need to do, Lord God, show us, Lord God, that we can be right in your sight, Lord God, Lord God. We've been bought with a price, Lord God, and that price is your precious blood, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, even for the opportunity, Lord God, because you could have taken us out a long time ago, Lord God. But we thank you for the opportunity right now to ask for forgiveness, Lord. And we say thank you, Lord God, for your grace, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for your mercy. We say thank you, Lord God, for your love, Lord. You loved us so, Lord, that you went to the cross. Nobody can love us, Lord, like you do, Lord God. And we say thank you tonight. You are so holy. You are so righteous. You're so honorable, Lord God. We say thank you tonight. There is none like you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we say thank you tonight, Lord God. We pray you, Lord, we glorify and we thank you for our bishop, Lord God, for our first lady, Lord God, that worked tirelessly, Lord, to bring the word to your people, Lord God. Continue to keep them. Continue to bless them. Continue to keep your protective hedge around them, Lord God. Protect them from hurt, harm, and danger, Lord God. You've brought them through so much, Lord. We thank you that their lives are an example on how to live, Lord God. And no, they're not perfect, Lord. But Lord God, they've trusted in you all these years. And look what you've done to them, Lord God. Look at where you brought them from, Lord God. And that should be a shining example, Lord. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for your many blessings in our lives, Lord God. Continue to look upon Beulah Tabernacle, Lord. Look upon all the members, the ministers, the deacons, the missionaries, the saints, Lord God. Continue to keep us and protect us, Lord God. Because this world, we know it's coming to an end, or this time rather is coming to an end. And we want to be ready, Lord God. We need to be ready, Lord God. We don't want to disappoint you, Lord God. We love you today, Lord. We praise you today, Lord God. We glorify you today, Lord God. keep us, continue to keep us in your loving arms, Lord God. We just say thank you today for your mighty works in our life. We say thank you today, Lord God, because we don't have to live in sin. We don't have to live like pigs, Lord God, but we can live holy, Lord God. We can live righteously. We can live justly, Lord God. We can love our brother, love our sister, Lord God. We say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all that you continue to do, and all that's to come, Lord God. Help us to be ready for your meeting in the air. And we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, which endure forever, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for tonight's teaching, Lord God. Guide us, Lord God, hide us behind your cross, Lord God. Lord God, if there's anything, Lord God, any sin, Lord God, with us, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for, Lord God, loving us enough to chasten us, Lord God. Hide us, Lord God, behind the cross, Lord God. Guide us to get it right, Father, before you, Lord God, while you're still at hand on the earth, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we are your children, Lord God, your daughters, your sons, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, have your way, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, and we give you the glory, Lord God, that is due unto you, the honor and the praise, Lord God. Lord God, we need you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We adore you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We magnify and glorify your holy name, Lord God. For Father God, you've called your people to be holy, Lord God. Help us and guide us, Lord God, in all holiness, Lord God, towards you, Lord God, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, each and every day, Lord God, to lay aside those things, Lord God, that may separate us, Father, from you, Lord God. You've called your people, Lord God, to be holy, Lord God, and submit, Lord God, unto you, Lord God. Guide us, Lord God, to have a yielded, Lord God, spirit, putting away all stubbornness and backbiting, Lord God, putting away those things that separate us, Lord God, that separates us from you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for making the way of escape. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for your promises and your word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because we can come to your throne of grace and ask you, Father, to forgive us, Lord God. And Lord God, help us to turn away, Lord God, to seek your face and turn away, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, guide us, Lord God, as we learn, Lord God, to mature in you, Lord God. Lord God, you are our strength. You are our hope, Lord God. You are our master. You are our king, Lord God. And we bow down to you, Lord God, not only in word, Lord God, but in deed, Lord God, in action, Lord God. You said faith without works is dead, Lord God. Help us to not only have faith, Lord God, but do the work, the action, Lord God, necessary, Lord God, to fulfill, Lord God, our promise to you, Lord God, to be faithful, Lord God. Lord God, you are faithful to your children, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to stay underneath your blood of protection, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, to shield us, Lord God, from all hurt, harm, danger, seen and unseen, no matter what the enemy brings against us, Lord God, or even ourselves, Lord God. Cover us, Lord God. Guide us, Lord God, hallelujah, to get back in fellowship, Lord God, to rededicate and recommit ourselves to you, Lord God, for your coming home. You're coming back soon, Lord God, and we want to be ready, Lord God. Lord God, we lay aside the sin, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to let it go, Lord God. Anything that may separate us, Father, from you. We thank you, Lord God, for showing and revealing it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Wash us, Lord God, within and without, Lord God. Purge us with hyssop, Lord God. Renew a right spirit within us, Lord God. Hallelujah. For you are our mind regulator. Hallelujah. You are our keeper. Hallelujah. You are our strength, Lord God. And we hold on to you, Lord God. Never let it go, Lord God. Help us to never let go, Lord God, but to seek you, Lord God, at all times, Lord God, no matter what we're going through. You are there with us, Lord God. If we go to the valley, Lord God, you are there. Hallelujah. If we're on the mountain,
top. You are there, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, because you can snatch us out of any situation. And I thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are Alpha, Omega, the beginning, the end, Lord God. There's nothing, Lord God, hallelujah, too hard for you, Lord God. You know everything, Lord God. And so we surrender our all to you, Lord God. Leaving nothing, Lord God, on the table, Lord God, but surrendering it's laid out to you, Lord God. We trust you and we obey in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord God, with us all, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God, we humbly come before you, O God. You are wonderful and you are worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus, for waking us up this morning in our right minds. Thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for protecting us another week that we have this opportunity to be able to study your word. I want to ask that you forgive any sins that we committed against you, O Lord. Anything that was not like you, O God, I pray that you cleanse us. Have your way in our lives, O God. Lead our steps in your will. I pray that you strengthen our faith and that you will help us to stay steadfast in you. I pray that you help us to not get distracted by the things of this world and that we should keep our focus on you. I pray that you help us to be rapture ready and stay ready, O God, because you are soon to return. Anything that we need to fix or we need to work on, I pray that you reveal it to us. We come against any plans and traps of the enemy in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, O God. Help us to not get weary in well-doing. Help us to trust you and let go and let you take full control of our lives. Thank you, O God, for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Without you, we are nothing, O God, and we thank you for your grace and mercy that renews every morning. We thank you for the word that you gave your manservant tonight, O God, to encourage us. Thank you for the doctrines of Christ, O God, and help us to apply these words to our lives. Help us to be an example to the people that we may come across, that they will see your light through us. I pray that you help us in executing our SMART goals, that you help us to achieve these things that you have placed on our hearts. We are believing you, O God, and it shall be done in 21. We thank you for everything that you provide for us. We believe you for these things that we ask tonight. I thank you for these things in advance because you said, ask and it shall be given unto you. And we believe you for it, O God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Father, my soul doth rejoice in your presence, even as we have come before you with our prayers and petitions. We thank you for visiting us, Lord God, with your anointing this night on this line. And Lord, for the word that has been shared, for the doctrines of Christ and the doctrines of God and the doctrines of the apostles. Lord, we thank you that you have given us a foundation upon which we can build our lives. And so, Lord God, I thank you. Thank you for these powerful prayers that have gone forth tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for growth shown even in the prayers tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the army of the Lord is here. Lord God, I know that you mentioned to me and you told me so long ago to share the words. I see an army, but Lord God, I'm so grateful that you're bringing the army together. The army is on the line. The soldiers are in position. Got our war clothes on, and we're learning how to take the word of God and to apply it to our lives, learning how to take the word of God and use it in our prayers. Oh, God, my soul doth make its boast in you. Lord God, I'm grateful to you for the people that are here right now. I'm grateful to you for the souls that are growing in your word. Lord, I'm grateful to you for the ones that are applying the word that's being taught. I thank you, Lord, for their change and transition into more like Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that flesh has to die. And when flesh is put in subjection, Lord God, your name is glorified. I thank you for Holy Ghost fire that's working on the inside, purging any dross, getting rid of any contaminant. And all that's left is the glory of God. I thank you. Hallelujah. Let your glory rest on your children as we give you praise and glory, as we lift up our hearts unto you, as we align our steps with your word. Let your glory come upon us. Let your glory rest upon every woman on this line, every man on this line, every young person on this line. Let your glory come upon us. Hey, God, thank you for this dispensation of grace. Thank you for allowing us to be partakers of an inheritance with the saints in light. Thank you that you brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Jesus is the light of the world, and we embrace his words. We embrace his teachings. We embrace what the apostles got from him, and we're going to be steadfast with it, Lord. We know we're living in days that are changing, and people are changing their minds, but I'm so glad your word is consistent as you are. You declared even in the prophet Malachi, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Out of the mouth of that last prophetic writer of the Old Testament, you confirmed your Tayarabosanda. You confirmed your identity by your word. You confirmed your nature that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, while he might have been the last one in the Old Testament volume, oh God, he stands between the full volume of the old and the upcoming volume of the new. And thank you, Lord God, even in Hebrews, Lord God, the apostle wrote, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so from Genesis down to Malachi, and from Malachi down even into Hebrews, and even from Hebrews to Revelation, where there's one on the throne. Hallelujah. Ah, God, we see Jesus. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to what you gave us, to be courageous and bold in a day where fear and vicissitudes and the changeableness of man seems to be taken over with this Laodicean spirit. Lord, I thank you that the doctrine that you have given us will allow us to see counterfeit and know that there's a difference between light and darkness. And I thank you, Lord, that you have put life before us and you have let us see darkness. You let us see death and you told us to choose between death and life. And so, God, we thank you. You haven't twisted our arms with this, but you've made it plain for us to see that your way is the best way. Therefore, now, our Father, into thy hands we commend ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, being preserved blameless by your spirit and rapture ready, for the day will come when the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you on tonight, our brothers and sisters. The recording at this time will come to a close.